Good morning. How's everybody today? Are you excited to worship the Lord and to be in His presence? I am. There's no greater joy to be in. A greater joyful place to be is to be in God's presence. And today I'm going to talk about the core value, one of the core values of Great Commission Christian Church. And you know our mission, our vision for this church is that two commandments. And the first one is the greatest commandments, yes. That's why we want everybody who comes to church will be able to do that. We encourage one another to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And that's what delights the Lord. We are the object of His love, and He loves us so much, and He wished and He desired that we can love Him back. And the second great commandment is the Great Commission. Anybody can recite that Great Commission? Go and make disciples of all nations and teach them what Jesus taught us, right? And to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today, I'm going to focus on being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go and make disciples. And to go to and make disciples, first of all, you have to be a disciple yourself. If you're not a disciple, how can you make disciples, right? So today, I'm going to focus on being a disciple. What does it look like? What does Jesus require of His disciples? And so, let's read the verse, Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Let's read it together. So this morning, we want to learn what does these verses mean. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows the teaching of another, one who is like another, and who models after another. So a disciple is a follower. He follows someone who he look up to, he admire, and he want to learn from him. So he's a student, and also he wants to be just like him, to imitate him. He's a copycat. Next slide. So a disciple of Jesus Christ, first of all, is one who has a personal relationship with Jesus and who has made a willful choice. He wants to, not forced to, but he wants to. It's a willful decision to learn from Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to be like Jesus. Okay. So let's look at verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be by Jesus must deny themselves. What does it mean to deny yourself? So deny yourself in simple terms is saying no to me and saying yes to Jesus as Lord. So what does that mean to say no to me? It's saying no, be my own God, be my own boss, doing what I want, and doing my way. But say no does not mean say no to my feelings. Okay, God gave us feelings, and He doesn't want us to deny our feelings. He does not want us to suppress our feelings. Feelings are just like, you know, a symptom of what's really inside of our heart. Like if you feel depressed, it might be because you have anger in your heart. They say depression is suppressed anger. Or you feel anxious and you have a lot of anxiety, a lot of worries. and maybe because they are fear, insecurity in your heart. So feelings, we are not to suppress them, to deny them, but to acknowledge them and say, there is something in my heart, there are issues in my heart I need to deal with. And also, say no to myself, that's not mean to say no to my brain, okay? God gave us a brain. That God gave us a brain, common sense, to think, to, you know, flee from danger, and, you know, the flight and flighting what? What's that one? Flee and fright. Flight and fight, right, right. So God gave us a brain, and he gave us mind, to love him with all our mind. So to God doesn't say, don't disregard your what you are thinking, because God does want you some mind to know him. He said God loves to reveal himself to us. So he wants to speak to our brain, to our mind, and to help us know him and to know that he is God. So say no to me, that's not saying no to my brain. And also say no, that's to my happiness. No, God want you to be happy. God doesn't want you to be a sour lemon. I mean, God wants you to be happy. And I know when I see my children happy, I'm very happy. So I'm sure we bring God a lot of pleasure and happiness when he sees us too happy. And you know, Jesus said that I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. So God does not want us to be just to be miserable and say, no, you cannot have happiness. No, his goal is to want to see us happy. And also, say no to me, that's not mean, you know, you deny your, you say no to your self-worth, that you're nobody, you're nothing. No. God wants to build our self-esteem. God wants us to know who we are in him. So it's not saying no to my self-worth. Okay, so what does saying yes to Jesus mean? Saying yes to Jesus means you submit yourself to God's authority and leadership. You want his kingdom come and his rulership to come in your life. And it's saying to God, God, you are my God. You are my boss. You are my leader. It's not my will be done, but your will be done. And do you know something? The safest place to be is to put yourself under the authority of God. And when you put under the authority of God, submit to his authority and leadership, you're under his protection. So can I have a couple girls be my assistants? And can I have Scott here too? So Scott, you're going to play Satan. Okay? And you're going to roar like a roaring lion. Okay. Okay, let's see up here then. I guess I'm gonna knock down my you're gonna crawl around. So this is the umbrella of God's protection. So this is his authority, okay? So Cindy and Irene and me, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. So every day we submit to we come under God's protection by submitting to his authority and leaderships. Okay? So this, so Cindy, you have to stay close and stay under this umbrella, right?
He's under.
Hey. No, 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 no. Hey, Satan. Rory Lyons, stand up. Yeah. So as long as you're under here, he cannot get you, okay? But if I get out, get out.
Would you like something to eat?
But if I don't put myself under this umbrella protection, he's going to get me, eat me up really quickly, right? So I had to keep myself under this umbrella of God's protection by submitting to his authority and rulership because Satan cannot get in here. Satan will try to get us out of here by oh yeah, you know, saying, oh, what are you saying? Really? Is it really that beautiful? And he's gonna eat me up. So we had to keep, yeah. So my brother and sisters who loves me, would pull me back. Say, come on, get under here so I won't be eaten up by him. Okay, got it? Get the idea? Okay, thank you. So you want to be in a safe place? This life journey is not easy. Okay? It's a jungle. So make sure you stay under God's protection by submitting to his leadership and authority. Okay. And so in summary, next slide. In summary is that there are two kinds of lives. The first circle, the S means self, okay? It's you on the throne. I am the boss, I am the God, and I'll do what I want whenever I want, and I am the authority of my life. So you are on the throne, you're the king. And see how, and Jesus, either outside of your life or maybe on the side of your of the throne. He's not on the throne. You are, but Christ is on the side. And outside is non-Christian, but a carnal Christian, a Christian who doesn't have Jesus as the Lord, as the leader, not submit to his authority in leadership, I mean, Jesus is inside the circle, but he's not on the throne. Okay, and we call those people carnal Christians. So you see everything in his life, the little dots can be different areas of his life, it's all messed up, it's not in harmony. It's out of order. Okay, so, but Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. So in summary, this picture sort of tells you what deny yourself means. It means that Jesus is on the throne of your life. And everything in your life is in alignment, in harmony. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. Well, what does pick up your cross mean? And picking up the cross means to be dead, had no reaction, had no response to your fleshly and sinful desires. And just to be dead to anything that's outside God's will. Okay, that can include a lot of things, right? It can include your pride, your greed, your lust, your worldly pleasures, like eating a lot without moderation, drinking, smoking, taking drugs, being judgmental, critical, resentful, bitter, all that stuff. You have to be dead to those things. So someone says, if anything that stops you from getting closer to God, then you need to let it go. Is there anything in your life that's really hindering your relationship with God, putting him on the throne? If you love anything outside, if God is not on your throne, there's something else is on the throne. Okay, the desires of the flesh, the prior life, and all that. So you need to take time and examine your heart and see if there's anything that's keeping you from getting closer to God. You need to let it go. Okay, and then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. Follow me. When you follow someone, there's a leader, right? And Jesus is the one you want to follow. There's no better person to follow than Jesus Christ. I know people are looking for people to follow. I know some people are looking to American idols or football players, celebrities, or certain models to dress like her, to have the haircut like her, or whatever. But Jesus is the best person to follow because he's perfect, sinless, and there's no one like him. And I know he's the one I want to follow. I don't want to follow Joseph. Oops, maybe that's not right. I need to honor and respect him, but I don't want to follow his every behaviors and every word that he speaks. Because he's not perfect. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? I'm not saying not submitting to his authority. I'm saying that I'm not going to follow, you know, his idiosyncrasies, right? I'm not going to follow him going and get Chinese newspaper every day and not be able to live without it. You know, that's something I will not copy him. That's what I mean. I need to clarify that. And I don't need to dress like Kate Middleton or look like, actually, I don't need to look like anybody. What I want to look like Jesus. So when we go to wherever we go, can people say, boy, she sure reminds me of someone, you know. She sure smells like someone someone. I hope it's Jesus and not anybody else. Okay, so what does it mean to follow Jesus? All right. It's to think like what Jesus thinks, having the mind of Christ. To say what Jesus would say, to do what Jesus would do. Okay, so let's read what is the mind of Christ described in Philippians 2:5-11. Let's read it together. In your relationship with one another, the same mindset as Jesus Christ. So here we see the mind of Christ is that even though he is God, he has the right of being a God, but he did not consider himself equally with God. He gave up his rights of being God and came to be a vulnerable human being. So that's humility. He made himself nothing and took the nature of a servant. So he's humble. And also he's obedient to the Father's will. So the mind of Christ is that everything he does is that it's in humility, in obedience, and through this act, it's love for the Father and love for us. So, do you know something? Do you know your mind controls what you say and what you do and how you feel? Like this morning, you came here because your mind said, Cindy, get up. It's Sunday, you need to go to church. Now, get up now, get dressed, so you won't be late, right? Yeah, you came here, everything you do because your mind tells you to. You are not in automatic control where you wake up in the morning and automatically do this and that. Your mind tells you what to do. And what you do will affect you how you feel, too. If you did something that it's right, you feel good about yourself. If you did something bad, then you feel guilt and shame, and you want to hide, and you feel really bad about yourself. So your mind, your thoughts control what you say, what you do, and how you feel. So they say that your mind is like a garden, and your thoughts are like seeds. And you can grow flowers, or you can grow weeds. It's your choice what type of seeds you want to put into your thoughts. So it's important what you're planting in your mind. What are you watching? What are you looking? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating? Every day. I want to go back to this. So it's really important that we don't, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's really important that we want to plant seeds that will grow flowers and not weeds. And examples of planting seeds that will grow flowers is for instance, like, you know, every day we are in a spiritual warfare, right? And you're bombarded all the time by Satan to plant all these seeds of negative thoughts, seeds of condemnation and accusations. And you know something? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you cannot park your thoughts there. You cannot meditate on those thoughts. You cannot entertain them. And also saying we want to, you know, show you thoughts like lies and deceptions, like, oh, you are a failure. You are really a mistake. You are really useless. You're not bound to anything. You know, everybody just, you know, frustrated with you, angry with you. You're doing such a bad job. You know, this type of thoughts. You just have to not agree with that. You just do not entertain those thoughts. Do not even spend time thinking about those thoughts. And do not even agree with it. And if you find yourself agree with all those lies, you need to repent of that, because you're agreeing with Satan and you're not agreeing with God. So you need to repent and cut off those lies and start agreeing with God, agreeing with God's promises, His truth. So it's really important that you are in the Word every day. You need to know the truth so you know what are the false, what are the lies from the enemy, so you can not agree with the lies. You can cut them off, reject it. Don't entertain it. Don't meditate on it. But rather you agree with God, what He says in His Word. Agree with the Word, with the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay. Next. Okay. So how can you think what Jesus think? By filling your mind with God's Word, right? So it's really important every day that you got to feed your mind with God's Word. You got to fill it with God's Word. And you got to, and what a thought you should think about. In Philippians 4:8, thinks about whatever is true, which is the Word of God. A lot of time, our perception might be the truth. A lot of time we judge by outer appearance. We don't know the whole story that this person is going through, and we make a judgment on that person. You know, a lot of people react certain ways because you don't understand, you don't know the storms that they're going through, and you just judge them by what you see on the outside. So we have to fill in with what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what's admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So these are the things we're supposed to fill our mind with. And I think we need to fill our mind with a lot of praise and thanksgiving. And therefore, we leave no room for grumbling and complaining, which God doesn't like. So here's the mind. Click, click. Click. Okay, there's the mind. So we need to fill input with God's Word, fill it with God's Word, and reading the Word is not even enough. You need to take the time to memorize and meditate it so the Word can go into your heart. Okay, how can you say what Jesus said? Okay, so Jesus said that, you know, whatever that come out of our mouth is come out from our heart. So you have an unclean heart. Okay, next. The brain again. So you feel your mind with dirty thoughts, impure thoughts, unclean thoughts, and it's going to go down to your heart, right? And all this filthy, unclean stuff is in your heart, and where it comes out, it's your mouth, right? Which is curses, and all this negative stuff come out. But if you fill it with if you fill your heart with pure things, like what's, you know, good, noble, present, and excellent, and all that, and what's gonna come out from your mouth is praise and thanksgiving and positive stuff, encouraging stuff. The words that came out that's gonna nurture people, bring healing and life. So you want to speak the word of life to people by having a pure heart. And how do you keep your heart pure? We're gonna sin all the time. We are not perfect yet. Perfect. It's through repentance, confession, repent, and be filled with the Spirit. So last Wednesday in our cell group, we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's like breathing. You know, we exhale out our sins through confession, repentance, and we inhale the Holy Spirit. And so this is a breathing constantly. Every day we need to breathe in and out, in and out. In Holy Spirit, our sin. In Holy Spirit, our things. So it's an everyday thing, okay? It's not a one-time deal. Okay, next. So to do what Jesus would do. Okay, what Jesus' work is out of love, and he always do what is right, just, and fair. And that's from Proverbs 1:3, doing what is right, just, and fair. And that's what God wants us to do. Whatever we do what's right, just, and fair, and out of love. So at work, when I'm dealing with customer issues, customer service issues, these are my principles when I take care of customers. You know, I want to do what's right and what's fair for them, what's right for them. And I'll, try to seek the best interest, seek their best interest whenever I'm trying to service them. These are my guidelines. So whatever we do is out of love for that person and do what's right, just, and fair. And just to give you, in contrast to what Jesus do and how Satan work, his work is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." So they say, whatever you do to the other person, to steal them, maybe steal their self-esteem, steal their peace, steal their worth, that's Satan's work. And you can kill a person with their words. You can destroy a person with your word or criticism, judgmental attitudes, and all that stuff. So anything that's not built up and give life is not of the Lord. Jesus doesn't do that. It's Satan's word. His word is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that's how you can discern, where this is coming from, what I'm getting, how I'm feeling. Is this from God or from Satan? Well, you feel like, something's been stolen from you and you're getting killed and destroyed through this person's, your interaction with this person, then you know it's from Satan. But whatever you do with if this person, whatever he says or does, build you up and give you life, encouragement, you know it's from God. Okay, so next slide. It says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" In this life, okay. In this life, people work really hard. I know people work 24/7, and what do they try to do? They try to make as much money as they can and to keep it to all themselves. So they will have this, they will be able to afford this and that, and that's keep it to themselves, and they're not willing to share with other people or give it up, okay, or give to God. And eventually, what it leads to? Zero. Because everything you try to gain for yourself, your possessions, fame, or whatever, at the end, it's not going to last. It's all going to turn out to be zero. So it's going to burn up, right? Everything passes away, nothing lasting. But to lose your life for Jesus is giving Jesus all you have to be used for his purpose and glory. So you live your life and you open hand and you get 100% of God. Because when your business closes up, God wants to give you a lot of blessings, but your hands are off, your business closed, they cannot receive it. But when you live with an open hand, God can put his blessings into your hands. Okay. So I get all of God and he gets all of me. When you give God all of yourself, then he will give you all of him. "I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. He who pastures his flock among the lilies." So have you decided to follow Jesus and no turning back? Because following Jesus is a decision you have to make. Is he the one you want to follow for the rest of your life? And once you follow, are you going to turn back or are you going to stay on? Especially during the storms, right? Especially when you get disappointed. Something you prayed for so long and he didn't answer. And you say, is it worthwhile keep trusting? Is it worthwhile keep hoping? Is it worthwhile keep praying? Well, forget it. It seems like this guy doesn't work. I have, like you know, some of you, you know, I'm a global media missionary where I talk to people through emails of all these people who visit the website where they share the gospel and they have questions or prayer requests. They would email and we will answer the email. So this lady from India, she asked me, should I keep praying and trusting God? And later on, she gave me a few more emails to clarify why she asked that question. Because she was pregnant, and the doctor said that her baby is weak. And so she tried, she prayed so hard, God, please save my baby. But you know something? God did not save her baby, and her baby died. So she's fine. She was very disappointed with God. She was very depressed. She was in deep depression. So I had to reply to that email. And then last week, my coworker, I was filling my prescription. She was next to me helping me. And she said, Marlene, if somebody's angry with God and have doubts about God and doesn't want to go to church anymore, do you think this person will still get to heaven? Do you think God will be angry and this person will not be able to get to heaven? So I knew it's a question I cannot really address at that moment because we're so busy, right? And I said, so later on, I just really feel, well, you know, I really need to talk to her on a separate time and ask why she asked that question. So I took her out to dinner that night after work, when we sat down for dinner, her tears came down. She said, the person that's asking, that's thinking about that, it's me. I'm the problem. So I had to, you know, help her understand that salvation is not based on works, but it's based on faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, she's a very devout Catholic. She loved going to church. She's very kind and loving. But then it turned out that she doesn't even know how does one get eternal life. I asked her, if you die tonight and you go to the pearly gate in heaven and Apostle Peter asks you, for what reason should I have you enter this gate into heaven? She said, I don't know. And then I asked her if she has a Bible. She said, yeah, I have a couple of Bibles that I bought for my children when they were in Christian school, required for the Bible class, but I don't know where they are at. So, you know, she can go to church and go to a lot of religious activities, but she never read. She's Bible illiterate because she doesn't read the Bible. And you know, there are a lot of Christians like that. I know it because I lead a Bible study. You know, I said, okay, let's turn to Romans. Let me know where Romans is. Oh, it's a New Testament, Old Testament. You know, they don't read their Bible. So there are a lot of Bible illiteracy in the Bible. And that's the reason that I worked with the Joy Cell Group a few years ago when I discovered that most of them are Bible illiterate and how they really need to somebody to teach them the Word and explain to them so they can understand it. And it's really encouraging to see them growing the Word. So being a disciple is not just praying the prayer and that you're saved. Being a disciple is that you have to make that one, not only decide to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, but you have to also make that next step, another decision is that He's the one I really want to follow. He's the one I'm willing to dethrone myself to be the God of my life, to be the boss of my life. I'm willing and I want to let Jesus to be on the throne of my life. So have you decided to follow Jesus and no turning back, even through the hard times, and keep trusting and hoping? Okay, so being a disciple is like, which bus are you getting on? Next slide. So there's a bus, and its driver is Satan. And its destination is hell. And what's going to happen to hell? Can you click? Did you see the fire? No fire. Mine says fire. Okay. Okay, next one is, the driver is Jesus. And where is he going to take you to? Heaven. It doesn't happen. Okay. All right. It got lost in your translation. So, you want to be a disciple, you hop on Jesus' bus, where he's a driver. He drives you, okay? And he'll take you to heaven. But make sure if you think you're on Satan's bus, make sure you get off, and so you don't go to hell. Okay, next. So the decision, next slide. The decision is yours. Your decision will determine your destination. Oh, well. Yeah, that's it. Joseph, you want to have some... You want to respond with... Can we respond with a song right now? Or you have something to say? How many people doesn't know the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"?